The New South Wales election couldn't be a closer run thing. Less than 2 weeks out, and the latest poll shows the Coalition and Labor are deadlocked, 50-50. And if it stays that way until election day, the support of minor parties will be needed to form a government. A news poll published today in The Australian shows neither side has been able to gain an election-winning advantage, despite big spending promises on transport, hospitals, schools, don't forget stadiums. The Berejiklian coalition government is hoping its massive infrastructure program will ultimately sway voters.
There are inconveniences caused by a lot of the projects that we're building. We are building more schools, more hospitals, more road, more public transport than in our state's history. Our public investment in infrastructure is adding about 0.5 percentage point to our economic growth each year. And we have an opposition that is running on a platform of cancelling projects and increasing taxes.
That's the New South Wales State Treasurer Dominic Perrotto speaking to us here on Breakfast yesterday. Well, Michael Daly is the New South Wales opposition leader, Labor leader. Michael Daly, welcome back to Breakfast.
G'day, Fran. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Today's news poll shows the Coalition and Labor deadlocked 50-50 on a two-party preferred basis. It's been that way since February last year. Your state is divided. Why hasn't Labor and you been able to shift that dial?
Well, we're trying hard. What we're doing, Fran, is being positive. I said when I took over as leader a short time ago, the 10th of November last year, that people all across Australia were sick and tired of negative politics. They were sick of politicians insulting each other in the parliaments, insulting each other in the public forums, fighting each other to a standstill on ideas. And so what I've tried to do, and I think I've had relative success, is be a positive leader, sell a positive message, talk about positive things, about hope for the future, about the fact that our environment needs to be looked after, and that climate change is real, and to put forward positive policies in relation to those sorts of things. And we'll see on election day whether that message has been received by the people or not.
How frustrating is it in the here and now then that voters don't seem to be being buoyed by your positive message, as you say? And do you think that the problem might be that New South Wales hasn't forgiven Labor yet for the corruption scandals and the mismanagement of past governments, which you're a part of? Eight years is not enough to forget and just get positive with you.
Well, I don't feel frustrated. I feel good. I feel the more I get out and talk to people, particularly in rural and regional communities, the more encouraged I am by the fact that they do want to stop and talk about positive things, and they don't bear grudges. They're not looking in their rear vision mirror. I went out to Menindee and spoke to the people out in Menindee, and if anyone, there's a community anywhere in Australia that should be angry, it's them. But what they wanted to hear most of all was what our plans were for the future. They're not looking in the rear vision mirror. So, look, it might be that the voters haven't switched on yet, but in the next 2 weeks, and pre-polling has started, they'll focus their attentions on what the job that they need to do is, and I'm confident that, fingers crossed, they'll switch on in the last few days and vote Labor. I think there's a great deal of dissatisfaction with this government. And the message I've been saying to people is that you can't afford to toy with independents or the minor parties if you want to get rid of this government. Even though you might not have voted Labor before, this is your one and only chance to do it. If you tinker with the minor parties, you'll wake up on Sunday the 24th of May and those Liberals and Nationals that you're so dissatisfied with, we'll have formed government again.
Well, there's plenty of evidence that voters are inclined to tinker, as you say, with the smaller parties and the independents. And this polling today would, if it was reflected on election day, would bring New South Wales to minority government for the first time in 24 years. Are you talking with those minor parties, with the rural independents, about the prospect of supporting a minority Labor government if it comes to that?
No, I'm not talking to anyone about forming a coalition with anyone in relation to minority government. My aim, I said on the very, very first press conference that I did when I became the leader, was that I was not here to save the furniture, even though I'd come into the leadership with just 134 days to go. I've had 2 days off, Fran, and 134. I can't work any harder to make sure we get a Labor government, and that's my aim.
Yeah, sure, that might be your aim, but if the reality is something different, would you form a coalition, a minority government coalition, if you could?
And no, we won't.
You're not having any of those conversations?
We won't go into formal coalition with anyone, but if you look at the history of the Legislative Council, for example, no one's had a majority in that council, in that chamber of the New South Wales Parliament, for as long as I can remember.
The lower house is a different matter, though. That's where it counts right now.
Well, if we had the conf- if it does lead to a situation where we don't have a majority, we'll take each piece of legislation on its merits and deal with it on a piece-by-piece basis, but I will not be going into formal coalition with anybody.
I want to come to some of your policies, but just to finish on this, Labor's directing preferences. We've now seen the how-to-vote cards because the voting has started, absentee voting and the rest of it. Labor's directing preferences to the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party in two marginal national-held seats, Upper Hunter and Murray, and to the Greens just about everywhere else. And the Berejiklian government says you want to be Bob Brown in the city and Ned Kelly in the bush. Is this right? Are you just is this a cynical ploy just to try and garner the votes?
Well, it didn't stop the Liberals and Nationals taking votes from the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party in the Parliament of New South Wales when they enacted legislation to allow shooting in national parks, Fran, and didn't stop them taking
votes. Do you support the shooting in national parks?
No, I don't.
So why are you giving the preferences to the Shooters Party in those seats?
Well, our preference is for people in those seats to vote one, and I've been to those seats, and I've been to the Upper Hunter, and my message to the people of the Upper Hunter was the same as what I just said a minute ago, vote Labor one. And that's our aim. We hope that our candidate finishes ahead of the Shooters in both of those, Fishers and Farmers in both of those seats, and that our candidates are elected on their preference.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past 8. Our guest is the Labor opposition leader in New South Wales, just less than 2 weeks out from an election, Michael Daly. Michael Daly, your promise yesterday, Labor's been promising a lot in the last few days around education. Now, yesterday, an extra 5,000 teachers for public schools put on during your first term to make New South Wales the first state that would fully fund public education to 100% of the Gonski standard. Are there 5,000 spare teachers, good teachers out there ready to go? Is that an issue you're going to run into if you were elected?
Well, we've been talking to our federal counterparts about this, and we've promised that $2.7 billion of funding. It's a big investment. It'll mean that New South Wales, if we're elected, is the first state to fully fund the fair funding, is what people are calling it now, of the Gonski situation. And look, yes, there are good people out there who want to go into teaching, and we will employ these teachers slowly and progressively and in consultation with the experts in the departments, and we'll get that job done, and we're very proud of that announcement.
You're also pledging free TAFE courses for 600,000 students. I think I've got that right. TAFE courses,
yeah, that's correct.
In life skills. What would that be?
No, these are TAFE courses, 600,000 free TAFE courses over the next 10 years in industries where there are skills shortages, Fran. So in building and construction, in plumbing and electrical trades, but also in the non-traditional trades area, in aged care, child care, and disability care. So if you want to work in those sectors and we get elected, you'll be able
no
to study
fees.
Those for free. No fees.
These are expensive pledges, and while they might be popular, I mean, there was a pre-election budget forecast from the state treasury last week warning that the state's economy, quote, had slowed more than previously expected. How are you going to be able to cope with this, afford this ongoing spending? Is this a recipe for taking the budget backwards into deficit?
Not at all. All of the in New South Wales, before the election, the Parliamentary Budget Office, an independent Parliamentary Budget Office, is established, and we're sitting down working through all of these policies with the PBR, keeping in mind, and they're keeping in mind.
There's a lot of spending you're locking in, though.
Well, there's a lot. That's what happens in election campaigns, and what we do is redirect spending from other areas into the areas that we think are important. So, for example, $14 billion is what the coalition wants to spend on a tunnel under the harbour to the northern beaches of Sydney. We think that's a waste. We'll be redirecting that money into a metro between Sydney and Parramatta. It's about using the existing resources that are in the budget and the budget forecast for the next 4 years and applying them to the things that you think are important.
And just on that, the New South Wales government has embarked on a massive infrastructure program over the past 8 years. You might be the luckiest opposition leader alive because none of the projects, it seems, have got to ribbon-cutting stage in time for the election. So there's just the fury that remains before the election. But Labor is promising to cancel some of these projects. What's positive about that? I mean, you talked about your positive agenda.
Well, for a start, friend, this government's been spending number one on the wrong priorities, like a light rail from my electorate into the city, which no one wanted and which has turned out to be a complete disaster, and Infrastructure New South Wales told them not to build it. So yeah, you can brag about building, but number one, if you're building the wrong things, that's not good. It's a waste of money. And number two, if you're building them in the wrong way. And the WestConnex, for example, this project started off as a $10 billion road. It's now nearly $20 billion. And they're financing this, Fran, by having sold $70 billion worth of assets, privatisations on a mad scale. And if that's not bad enough, they've wasted $14 billion of the $70. So this government cannot claim to be good economic managers. In fact, they can't claim to be good managers in any regard when you've got waste on such a grand scale.
Okay, just finally, I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice that at the federal level, the coalition is having some tensions within, particularly around whether the government should underwrite federally a new coal-fired power station. Are you hoping the voters here in New South Wales will, that disunity will influence their vote at a coalition level? Are you banking on that?
I think voters are smart. I think voters can distinguish between the levels of government. I've always advocated that, even when people have told me it wasn't true. But what has permeated, and what I can tell you is that when we've been door-knocking, the Liberal brand is really on the nose. And I wouldn't be blaming if I was the New South Wales Liberals, our federal counterparts, for these sorts of things. It wasn't Malcolm Turnbull or Scott Morrison had built the WestConnex or the light rail or things like that. They've managed to muck things up all by themselves.
Michael Daly, thank you very much for joining us.
Great, thank you.
Michael Daly is the New South Wales opposition leader, Labor opposition leader, and voters in New South Wales go to the polls in less than 2 weeks' time. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:17.